Thank you for listening today. This is KGVM 95.9 FM and KGVM.org. We are Gallatin Valley's community radio station. I am Dr. Arliss Wood, psychologist, co-host of this program, Health and Happiness, along with Dr. Suzanne Wood, speech-language pathologist. We thank the Public Education Committee of the Montana Psychological Association for their loyal support. We thank Bob Wall for the computer engineering of this event. We have a notable community figure today for our great program. Dr. Suzanne now introduces.
We all dream of a full and complete life's journey. Today, we have a guest whose journey has spanned continents and has spanned cultures, languages, and cuisines. We have a person who has blessed her family and her community with service and love and complete generosity. Help me welcome City Council member, restaurateur, and fabulous person, Iho Pomeroy. Welcome, Iho.
Thank you so much for your kind introduction. I love both of you because you started with thankfulness. That's what I am too. And also, you mentioned about the language. Yes, language, English is a very hard language. I have lived in America longer than Korea, but my English is, or my Korean is, way more comfortable. How about that?
That's so fascinating. And yet you have wonderful communication skills, Iho, in both languages. And I'm qualified to make that diagnosis since I am a speech language pathologist.
Yes.
You have fabulous English skills, Iho.
I worked hard. I have been working very hard.
Well, we'd like to talk about so many things, and we've had you on the show before, but some of those things we'll probably ask again. But you also embarked on a new journey in the last year or so, one that you will be able to help us with and help others with. And this was a journey that, with a diagnosis, that helped you realize you really wanted to go back home and see Korea again. And so, kind of, if you would, talk us through the most recent things that have happened, Iho.
Yes, it's September. August, when I was in Billings Rehabilitation Center, I have a glioblastoma. It is what it is. And then one of my friend's daughter who went to school, preschool with my daughter, Jinju, she's working a PhD in New Zealand. She sent me text message. She wanted to GoFundMe. So she's asking my permission. I said, no problem, please do. And then when I came back, September, it was unbelievable. Over close to 900 people donated. And it was over $100,000. I don't remember. But anyway, lots of money, lots of people. I am just overwhelmed.
Well, I need to point out here, Iho, that if there were ever a just GoFundMe, it's this one, because how many tragedies and world events have happened, like a tsunami in Japan, or a war in Ukraine with refugees here. How many have you helped with so many efforts? And how many times have you made sure people had food who might not otherwise have? So that was actually the most well-deserved and well-earned GoFundMe I can ever imagine.
Thank you. Thank you. But my fundraiser was a long time ago, Thailand.
Okay,
tsunami.
Tell us about some of these so people will know how they could maybe access doing something like this one day, Iho. So Thailand, what happened there?
Yeah, you know, long time ago, I read in the newspaper, and the lady is from Three Forks. She taught English, one small village, and she find out her village was gone. So I contact her. I will do, I like the fundraiser since I have a restaurant. She said, I will not be there. So I told her, I don't want you to be there. I just want to help. That was my first fundraiser. And then it was like many, many, many years ago. I think we raised over $8,000. So we give to them. And then, like I said, I happen to be have a restaurant. And then I opened the restaurant, and then we make the food, and the community, we live in amazing community. Our community donated. We did it together about that.
This, it is fantastic. I'd like to just point out for everyone in the listening audience that for the healthiest, most delicious meal in the state of Montana, I'm sure there are others equal, but nothing is better than Iho's restaurant. Tell us where that's located, Iho.
It's located in front of downtown, in front of Wilson School, in front. So the address is 321 West Main Street, right next to the county courthouse parking lot. It's behind. But anyway, I am very, very grateful. When I opened the restaurant 27 years ago, I didn't know about the restaurant. And the people told me, please do not open the restaurant. Only one person, Derek Pomeroy, my husband. If you do, I will do my best to help you. Anyway, so I find out restaurant has been very difficult. They're right, but we are still here, so I am very grateful.
And it's just wonderful to have that addition to our community. For those who are familiar, it's right next to the History Museum on Main. Yeah. And so just walk back behind and you'll see Iho's fabulous new restaurant. How did you start out in Bozeman in the restaurant business, Iho?
It was the reason we are here is I always wanted my stubbornness. I always like to work. And then so I have decided I need an American degree. I have a Korean degree, but so I kept going to schools. And then University of Montana, when my husband studied the law, I also studied a lot of other economics and a lot of other things. And then when my husband got job offer in Billings, I said, no, thank you. I don't want to go there. My husband is from Billings, and then he has everybody's there. We lived there 1 year before he went to law school, because he want to work for his father. And then, so he said, Derek says, I do not live here in Missoula. Summer is beautiful, but winter is too crowded because of Bailey. So you don't live in Billings, I don't live in Missoula, so you want to go back to school? So he picked the Bozeman, Montana, so I can go to the Montana State University after I raised two children. But happened to be that we moved here, and then I bothered my husband a year. I want to do something else. He built my food cart. That time, only 27 years ago, food cart was hot dogs and meat. So I did very, very well. My husband finished work here Friday and go to the Billings. And his father's studio, his father was a sculptor. And I started building my food cart. And then it took 5 months to be able to build my food cart. And then my food cart did so well. And then I ended up having a restaurant.
That is amazing. I'm sure many people who've been on that campus remember that food cart. And then you had another location, and now you've built your own beautiful building, which
yes.
Just think of all the people who were employed to work and build that building and help our economy in Montana and especially in Bozeman, and then to provide the world's best food. Now, I know you also did fundraisers for Ukraine and
Turkey.
And Japan.
You said Turkey?
And Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of someone who's given so much, it made us all, that's why people gave so much to your feed, honey, is because you had already shown us how to go about giving. And with your diagnosis of glioblastoma.
Glioblastoma, yes.
Yeah. We just feel like you've maybe shown us the way again, Iho. What would you say to the people out here about suddenly having that diagnosis?
The first time, my husband and I rode a motorcycle to his college reunion at Connecticut, Yale, and then after we had an amazing time there, and then I still have to work for the city and work for the restaurant. So my husband retired last year. So I flew back home, and then my husband came home 2 or 3 weeks later, and then he find out I could not walk very well. I could not talk very well. He said, this is not right. So he took me emergency room, ER. And then I still remember the young doctor knew who I was. And then he asked me, do I have a stroke? I said, no, I do not have a stroke. And then he checked the CT, find out I have glioblastoma. I didn't know what glioblastoma was. So I studied, but anyway, that's what I am. And then since I have this one, I always been very thankful for this community. But people of 3 months continue to bring up food, making, even though I have a restaurant, bring up food. So I didn't cook for 3 months. Food and flowers, and I was very, very impressed with the people's kindness. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It was a joy to do any of those things for you, Iho.
Well, you helped me tremendously, too. You made food and you made our yard beautifully. Thank you.
You bet. That's my old homemade soup recipe.
Yes.
Iho, as a part of what occurred to you when all of this came about, you wanted to go back home and just see Korea for yourself again. Could you tell us a little bit about that journey, how that
yes.
felt, and the difference between Korea then and now, and how you felt?
Yes, I went to Korea in September. Iho, Derek went to business class. It was amazing. And my daughter and the two little her children, now 6 years old and 3 years old, James and Jackson, they went to just back there. And then, so we went to Korea. My family, except my mother and my father, they're all in heaven. They all cried. And they all gave me a lot of money. and the first time ever. And then pretty soon, they said, wait, you look fine. You look sane. Do you really have a glioblastoma? Yes, I am. Yes, I have. So it was a very pleasant trip. And then I tried not to do that much. Very nice hotel. And then another thing is, I was born 1958. I was born when South Korea was very poor. Because Korea, South Korea, North Korea, 1910 through 1945, August, well, we were under Japanese occupation. And then after that, 1952-1953, we had a Korean Civil War. When Japanese occupation, Korean people could not speak Korean, like my mother. My mother went to school with the Japanese, and then when she speak Korean, her friend tell the teacher, and she got the severe punishment. So her Japanese was way better than her Korean. That's how she grew up. And then now when we go, another thing is I remember is Korea has a very distinctive four seasons. And summertime, we have a lot of rain. And when you look at the Korea, it's a peninsula. It's a three areas surrounded by ocean. And then the North Korea connected with Russia and China. But South Korea is disconnected with the North Korea. So when you look at the South Korea by itself, I think it's island. It's a three area is ocean, and the top is we can go further. Mm-hmm. So when I still remember when I grew up, like summertime, we have a typhoon, lots of rain. And then it's Korean's mountain were red. Because of red, there must be lots of irons. And the Japanese took a lot of trees. Also, Korean people, too. We helped also the Red Mountain because we need to cook the rice and all the soup, all those kind of things. So we dig out the trees and things. But so when we were little, Arbor Day, April 5th, all Korean students, South Korean students, packed the lunch boxes and went to mountain. We plant trees. So now, when you go to Korea, trees are all over. I think one of the make South Korea wealthy right now. Right now is economy is ninth the worldwide, 10th, sometimes 11 or 12. So wealthy like that, I think one of the reason is trees. So trees not only give us oxygen or lumber, trees give us amazing. When lots of rain, trees and roots and hold the waters. How important waters to us. And then when water is not coming, no rain, the trees let the water go. So we have abundant water.
I love that story. The students and the townspeople went out and planted those trees. Isn't there a real lesson in this for everyone in the world?
Yes, trees. How important trees are. So Derek and my Iho, we almost go to the, I love living in the downtown, go walk, W-A-L-K. And usually our walk is go all the way to the library and walk behind the library and come home. And as soon as you go to the behind the library, I can just feel the some breathing freedom. It smells so good.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also study says people, children grow up with the trees and nature. They tend to be more kind. That's what I read.
Well, so. And we all know that in our hearts as well. When we go out and we're enjoying the beauty around us and the nature and just the joy of going back to Korea,
yes,
after all those years and seeing all the fruits of that labor. My goodness.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Well, one thing I've noticed as I've seen you over this time when you've been dealing with this cancer is that you're always coming or going from yoga. Tell us how exercise helps you with this whole journey.
Yes. I hope I'm not, my story is not that long. But I don't know why, before restaurant, I have my back problem. So I think when I was in San Diego, my husband just bought the van, 1988 van, and he was getting out of the military, and we are going to go traveling. He want to show America to me. And then I got a job. I think Highway 805, somebody hit me behind me in the highway. I don't know because of that or not. I had a back problem, and then chiropractor told me I will have a back problem rest of my life. So, and then I went to chiropractor a couple of times, and I didn't go. I tried, went to so many exercise, swimming. I love water, swimming, Zumba. So many. I love all of them. But the thing is, it didn't help for my back problem. And then around 15 years ago, one of my friend took me to the Band Beyond, hot yoga. And then it's not very easy exercise. And then after hot yoga, I do not have a back problem. But the thing is, you have to do continuously. If you do, you stop, you will have a back problem again. So I've been going again. Now I had a cancer surgery June 23rd. So June, July, August, September, October, November, 6 months. So a month ago, I've been starting going hot yoga again, three times a day, not a week.
That's remarkable. And I think when you're working with this diagnosis, to everything I've read about it says that exercise, keeping busy, is extremely helpful. And what would you say to folks out in the listening audience about that, Iho?
I will tell them 100% I agree. The doctor, I asked the doctor, also my husband's idea. After Korea, we went to Mayo Clinic for consultation. So I realized why a Mayo Clinic has that thing. Their group of doctors gave me lots of times and very knowledgeable, very kind. So they deserve that thing. And then I asked, what is my life expectancy? And the doctor told, didn't say exactly, but it's bell shape. If she's exercising and do the older whatever the treatment, and now I'm doing wearing Optune magnetic, so old whatever it is, it's good for the cancer. I try surgery, chemo, radiation, now Uptown, try to eat the good food and try to drink lots oxygen. So anyway, that's what I'm doing right now. Did I answer your question?
Oh, yes, dear. You certainly did. And I just wonder, too, some of the things I've studied tell us that being very social helps. And, of course, you've always done that and connected with everyone around you.
Yes.
And I think I wanted to mention your faith. Along with going to yoga, I hear you mentioning going to church and relying on your faith.
Yes, yes. Very, very important when you have it doesn't matter you have an illness, you do not have illness, having faith is very important. I still remember now, 36 years later, Korea has been changed. That time, when you marry not Korean, people suspicious about you. So my father told me, it's really embarrassing you are marrying not Korean. He said, please have a marriage going to have it in America or not in my hometown. That time my husband station was in San Diego. So he didn't know about Korea, but I told my father and my mother, I am not ashamed to marry him. I'm sure he's the same thing. I am going to marry my hometown, my big Catholic church. So I invited him, Derek Pomeroy, to my hometown, and then I picked the day, Love's Day, February 14th, and then he came, and so we had a very big wedding. And as soon as my parents met Derek Pomeroy, they put in love Derek. And then my mother told me when I left Korea, and she said, she was crying, wherever you go, God is going to be with you. Please remember, she was right. My journey, when I'm thinking about it, that time, now Korean food is, people know about Korea. People know about the K-pop. People know about the BTS. People know about the Korean healthy food. But 27 years ago, different story. People knew about Korea is Korean War, 1950 to 1953. Oh, I've been to Korean War. Like that, but so we are still here. Restaurant is that is God's grace. And our community's kindness. If no matter what, I said it's healthy and it's very healthy. Garlic and ginger and a lot of vegetables. But if we didn't have a people's support, community support, I wouldn't be here. So, like your husband said and yours said, I am very thankful. And then I am honored. Thank you, our community.
Wow, dear. And that faith is something that inspires us. And I noticed, too, that sometimes counseling is recommended. And Arliss talks about mindfulness and other strategies that could be helpful to some of those who are experiencing this.
Iho, in hearing you talk about faith and about your positive attitude, you're a great example of how.
Thank you.
Yes, very much so. I think the intertwining, the interdependence of a spiritual life and belief, as well as some of the best aspects of some of the counseling that we learn in school and learn in workshops. One of them is called cognitive behavior therapy. And in my study of religion and positive religion and psychology, you see a lot of overlap. What it basically says is that many people have assumptions about life and about living in general that are irrational and they're negative and they have a hard time getting rid of them. And they learn new methods of how to talk back to negative thoughts, how to recognize negative thinking, and a good spiritual life that is very positive religion reinforces that. They reinforce each other, that you, when you feel that, oftentimes the first thing we notice is an emotion like anxiety or depression, but often, oftentimes under that is an assumption that is negative, like catastrophic thinking, for example, like only the worst is going to happen rather than, wait a minute, no, that doesn't have to be. And so you actually begin to consciously talk back to that negative thought. Then you do it automatically. You appear to be a person who kind of does that naturally, and I think that's a great gift that you have, is getting rid of that negativity.
Thank you.
Do you work on it consciously, or does it just happen?
I do not know. But the more I think about it, I think I take after my mother's attitude. Her life was hard, but she was a hard worker. And she definitely, every day, I grew up in Catholic in Korea. There was, every day, there early in the morning, mass service in the morning. She went there, and she was pretty happy. And even though her life was, I know I've been seeing her life, she was crying and hard life, all those kind of things. And also she told us she couldn't leave because of us. She had 5 children. That was a very common that time in Korea. And 5 children, 7 children, 10. I was 4th out of 5. And my mom told us, I cannot escape from here because of you guys. So life was pretty hard. But somehow she loved to go outside and picnics and all those kind of things. So she grew up in a wealthy family, but somehow she married a man from a North Korean. And my father was studying China. Architect or engineer. Anyway, the war came, and he came all by himself, south, and rented a store from my mother's father, and worked so hard. And then my mother's father was so impressed with the hard work. And then he decided, he picked my mother, you marry him. He will be a good provider. So my aunt told me. Anyway, he was a generous, kind, but he had a lot of frustration too.
I was wondering, you've done so many good things here in the community. Can you talk a little bit about your city commission work and maybe what you're proudest of in that?
Oh, city commissions is another thing. My friend, I had 3 friends, all were very amazing politicians, Dorothy Eck, and they're all gone, and Mary Van Horn. And Kathy Straw, and then they asked me to be a politician. I said, no, not me, no. And then somehow I applied, and then I didn't think I was going to make it. Somehow I did. And then I worked very hard, and then I have learned a lot, because one of the things I learned is from city commission meeting is listening skill, listening. Because my husband always said to me, Iho, you have to listen every side, not only one side. So not only our public comment and our community. And another thing is I was very fortunate is my regular job is meeting a lot of people all the time, customers. So if I had a problem, I ask my customer, how do you like this one? And listening skill, I have learned, and while I was commissioner. And another thing is how important communication is. Even though we all speak in English, I've been seeing there are some miscommunication. So another thing is I find out how important transparency is. So working for this city. So I have learned a lot, and the community has been so kind. And another thing is people, I've been seeing this election, people are mad about affordable housing. I do understand. Yes, we have to have a roof and sleep and that kind of things. And right now, the young people is very, very hard to find a place to live here. But since I don't work for the city, I have a time. So I've been traveling, Portland, Oregon, and Albuquerque, and San Diego, and Seattle, all wherever go, desire place to go, we have a affordable housing problem. So affordable housing is not only Bozeman's problem, it's a national issue. So hope we be able to fix this one. But another thing is, I am very thankful right now, the young generation Bozeman is people not only just staying there, they grab together and they work and they become a mayor and a commissioner. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yes, I think that everyone's concerned about housing now. What do you think? We see lots of apartment buildings going up. Is the single-family housing keeping pace? And I remember one of the last times you were on the show, you were talking about water resources.
Yes.
And
water.
So how are we doing on that aspect, Iho?
Very, very, very important. I told you about the South Koreans' wealth. When I grew up, South Korea was poor. Not anymore. I'm sure there are some poor people. Amazing. So one of the things I think is, I told South Korea made that wealthy is, it was my husband told me, rain, water. We have water. And then the Mark Twain, you know who Mark Twain is, right?
Oh, yes.
Mark Twain says, South, so on the West, we live in West. West is, water is more valuable than diamond or gold. I don't remember, but that's what it is. But water is very important. And then, trees, how important trees to us, give us oxygen and a lot of things. And then, or it's green too. And then, a lot of people coming here, Bozeman, because in 10 minutes when you walk, you've been the amazing forest there. Like 10 minutes when I walk, I'll be behind the library. There are a lot of trees there. So the land, we need to preserve the land, not only for us, it's for the next generation, the next. That means what do we have to do instead of a single home, and then we need to put a, how can we use the land wisely? That means the same land, and we put the up, that means apartment. And that means we share more, we can share. And a lot of people told me, I've been here 30 years, and Bozeman is not the kind of a city I was. So tell people do not come. But I want to be honest with you. I cannot tell them. I came here 35 years ago. So it's a fact. Don't come. I cannot say that. Please, let's think about it. What we can do about it. About the sharing this beautiful land together. That's what I'm thinking. And another thing is talking of water, W-A-T-E-R. Whenever go between development, a lot of people are upset and coming to public comment about concerning about water. I am concerning about the water, yes, because we do not have that much water. And also, we rely on snow, S-N-O-W, how important snow is to us. So we continuously working together and studying together, and we have to figure out about affordable housing, how to use the land efficiently, and then protect the old nature, and also how to preserve the war, W-A-T-E-R. Very important. Thank you for asking that question.
Well, thank you for being on the front lines of helping with that and being welcoming to all of those seeking a beautiful place to live. And
yes.
I realize it's difficult for those who've been here many years to see change happen, but for those of us who've come in, it is just a beautiful, lovely,
yes,
gracious place to live. And that, I think, and we need more workers. We definitely could use every person
who
comes.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Immigration. Yes.
Yes. And when we had the IRC on the show, the statewide director, it was pointed out that in the last 40 or 50 years, 75 to 80% of the new businesses in the United States have been started by immigrants.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And so they've added just this huge amount to our world. And here you are, Iho. You started out with a food cart and you learned the language so well. And you were able to leap from one continent to the next. And so you've added so much, just like the other immigrants. So we owe you a huge debt of gratitude.
No, when I was at the college in Korea, I made a good money because I worked for America. It was very hard for me to get a job. And then also I had a teaching certificate too. So student teacher, there was 10 people went to student teacher, and I wanted to get a job, I wanted to work, and that a lot of my friends was already senior, and they are through the matchmakers, and their mom's friends, their father's friend, their friend's friend, meet the man, and then they marry. So, but I wanted to work. And then, so I got a job. At the same time, I got a job offer, high school teacher, or the working for the American Navy. It was very hard for me, but I got American Navy. And it made my father very angry. If I got a job in the high school teaching, I would get married well. Mm-hmm. I would live very well. But I don't know. But anyway, I made good money. And then when I left for America, I gave all my savings to my family. And then when I came to San Diego, the end of March, I remember I didn't bring any money. My husband gave me, remember, $500, buy something what you want to have. And so beginning, it was very hard for me to use even $1 because that money, I didn't earn that money. But now, different attitude about toward the money. Money is money. Right?
Yes.
We need the money. It's a capital society. Yes, we need the money. That's what I can go to Korea, and now I'm going to go to Japan, and through the Rotary. And if I'm healthy, I want to go to the Santiago, the through the France and Spain. But that money is money, and we need the money, and money can do a lot of things for us. Thank you. But anyway, I didn't bring any money when I moved to America.
And then you started generating money for the whole economy. And I wanted to ask, too, I understand that you went, was it Houston, and received an award a few months ago. Could you please tell us about that?
Not Houston.
Okay.
Or do you remember what kind of award did I get it?
Well, your family said that it was something to do with your Korean work in America.
I got an award from a Korean government, Korean unification, because I have done a lot for our community. So there are a lot of Koreans in America. Not all of them are very successful. Some people are not successful, but a lot of people are very successful. Those people, Korean government really picked and then give award and then encourage. Right now, I'm 65 years old. My generation, there are not many Korean politicians because, like I said, language is very hard. But I assume younger generation, my next generations, I am sure there are many amazing Korean-American politicians we will see, because Koreans are interested in about the politics. And I think our blood, our Korean people's blood has a politics there. So I'm sure now young generation Korean who live in America, their English is beautiful. Their Koreans are beautiful. So we will see more amazing politicians. Thank you.
How did you go about learning the language? Was it just on personal practice? Did you go to formal classes? How did you learn the language?
My language is, right now, when you speak good English in Korea, you will make a lot of money. And then right now, South Korea, even when you were like kindergarten, they studied English. But when I was school in Korea, we studied English seventh graders, middle school, 7, 8, 9. So before finish sixth graders and seventh graders, there's a summer winter vacation. We have a long winter vacation because Korea was poor, and it's hard to heat it up the classroom. So that winter vacation, my friend, maybe four friends, and had a get together. Let's study, learn English. So the place where I'm from is Jinhae. There is also American Navy base is there. So, and also Korean, there in front of my house, neighbor academy school is there. So there was the ladies who husband is a captain, and wives, and they also usually have a college degrees too. So I learned English before went to seventh graders with my friends. And then I liked that English. And also I studied a lot about English, just like other Koreans. And I learned lots of essays. And that time when I was in high school, I read Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream. Remember that I Have a Dream?
Yes, certainly.
Yes, very inspiring. So I liked the language. I liked English. And then college, I took a Japanese. And high school, I have to take another language. I took a French. French is so beautiful. And then elementary school also, we have to, mandatory, learn the Chinese characters. But because China was huge when we grew up, China, so Chinese characters.
This makes me wonder about your children and now your grandchildren. Which languages and cultures are they picking up on?
I'm sure English. They live in America. But my daughter, she has a talent. I can see she had talent about the language. When she was Sacagawea, sixth graders, I told her, you know, I'm Korean Tiger Mom, study Spanish. Spanish people speaks a lot, lots of land, because Spain was very powerful. And she said, no, German make the best chocolate cakes in the world. So I want to take a German. So she did. And guess what? She married the man from half German. So she lived in right? So life, you never know. So she speaks very good German too. So her children, they want to try the bilingual German and English. So when she get upset, she talked right away her children, because we live together. She speak in German. German is a kind of a harsh. French is beautiful. And German is a kind of a military. It's a harsh, mm-hmm. but yes. Anyway, all languages are different.
So different. And learning a language is one of the best cognitive exercises there is. So this might be why your brain is doing so well with glioblastoma, because you exercise your brain just as much as every other part of you.
yes, agree. Every morning when I woke up, open my eyes, I say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I am alive. Amen.
Wow. I need to ask you, how did you meet your husband?
How did I meet my husband?
Yeah.
I wanted to have a husband. I did, and then after work for a while, working for American Navy, and then I was a travel desk coordinator. People have a travel, they call me, public works office, and then so I translate, I pick the, this is a plumbing problem. So plumbing, and then I type, and they go fix it. And then I had a very good friend. Now she's American. She lives in Florida. She was a commander. I don't know, lieutenant command, pretty high. And then she was a Catholic too. She and I cling together. So we went to hiking together and introduced Korea, and she was an operation officer. You know about the North Korea, South Korea, they do once a year, they have team spirit. South Korean military and American military get together and the show. And basically, the purpose of the show is do not ever think about it. Tribe invade again. So the ship came, and then first time ever, my husband was a ranger, CB-65 ranger. And then the ship came, and Busan is an hour by the car away. And then my friend called me, would you like to come? The officer's party. And there was officer's party. And then there was enlisted party. There was the ship was aircraft carrier, 5,000 that time men, 5,000 men. Now it's ladies too, 5,000 men. And the officer was 150 officers. So officer's party was Busan. And enlisted party was where my hometown is, Jinhae. That's it. So she invited me, so I invited her. Other department Korean ladies too, and then they all said they will go, but the time to go Saturday, Thursday they all called me they don't want to go. oh, it'll be very uncomfortable. I don't want to go. So I was the only person, and my friend, it was 150 Navy officers, and then there was Neo, Iho, and my friend, and then there was a very, very handsome-looking gentleman was there, and with a brown pants and green T-shirt. So I picked him, and I told him, how cute you are. That's how I met.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And it went from there, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, were they stationed there for a while?
No, no.
Oh.
I met one day, and they went back to the San Diego. My husband's, the ship never come back to the Korea, but somehow, I don't know, they have a problem. Usually the aircraft carrier is coming from Okinawa, from Japan, but somehow they have a, the ship has a problem, so my husband was coming back again, but he thought he never going to see me again. But the a lot of people asked me, hey, who is that good looking guy yesterday you was dancing? And then I was I met in September. I was expecting we exchange the addresses. I expecting a letter, at least a Christmas letter, but he didn't. So I tried forget about him. And then March, the ship was coming back again. So my husband sent me a letter. If I show up Korea, would you like to meet me again? I sent right away, yes. That's how we met second time. And then after that, we went to a Buddhist temple. Oh, Korea is amazing, amazing. Korea was a Buddhist country and all those kind of things. And then he asked me about marrying me.
Hey.
And then I said, yes.
Knowing that you would be going to another nation.
Mm. Yes. And then I didn't know that Montana was this cold. He wanted to be a lawyer when he was very little. So before he go to law school, he applied, but I don't think he got in. So he decided the next day he got up and then I'm going to serve my country before I go to law school. So went to Navy and then San Diego, and then he was an aircraft carrier, and the ship came and then we met. How about that?
Wow. That is just fantastic. We're about out of time here. We're going to pick up on this and get more of the story next time, but it's been such a delight and an honor to have you, Iho.
It's an honor, really. I am so thankful. I am honored, and I am very grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God and the community, and you too.
You have such an illustrious, positive life. Thank you for being on. And we thank you for honoring KGVM's program, Health and Happiness, which we have every Monday night and Thursday mornings, 95.9 FM, KGVM.org as well. And you can go to the website, KGVM.org, and look up past programs, especially listen to this one over and over again about the very beautiful, positive life of Iho Pomeroy. So thank you for listening, and we'll sign off again, and we'll see you again later.